Welcome to Relationship CPR, the program that helps you live out Romans 12:18. Hi, I'm your host, Ron Price, relationship speaker and author of the Play Nice in Your Sandbox book series. Our topic today is we're all in this together. Maybe I should add a question mark, because sometimes we wonder, are we really supposed to be all in this together, this great adventure of life? Well, I hope to prove to you that the answer is yes, at least for the believers in Jesus Christ, those who claim to be his followers. Let me just make that case before I get into some other material. If you look in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, it says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Look at verse 13. By the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 13, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." The whole theme of this program that we're doing is to help us to be better able to live out Romans 12:18. You can look it up on your own if you'd like, but I'll share with you that it basically says that as far as within your ability, as far as it depends on you, some versions say, get along with others, live at peace with others, or I'm tempted to say play nice in the sandbox with others. And again, there can't be any doubt that that's how God wants us to treat each other. If you're still not convinced, let me take you to Philippians 2. Starting at verse 1, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? All challenging questions under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Paul asks us. Then he says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Verse 3 goes on, don't be selfish. Should I repeat that for emphasis? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, he says. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. I love verse 4. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And it goes on from there, we must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And that can be a big challenge. That can be an awfully big challenge. But again, it's what we've agreed to do. If we've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, if we've received his love and mercy and grace, we're not allowed to hoard that to ourselves. We have to be willing to extend that to others. Again, we're all in this together. I heard an illustration several years ago, 15, 20 years ago, that has just stuck with me. The presenter was talking about, in this case, two people in a rowboat, but I'll let you imagine a larger rowboat with several people in it. When all of a sudden a problem develops, a hole is created in the front of the boat. So the people in the front see the problem and they respond. They go to work. They start bailing like crazy. While the people in the back see the problem, but just step back and say, well, I'm glad that hole's not in our side of the boat. Oh, I hope you're smiling now. I mean, how silly is that? We're all in the same boat together. And I got to tell you, too, I'm a big fan of people, at least most people and most of the time. In fact, I am one myself. But having said that, all of us are FHBs. Now, please don't turn off your radio just yet. But yes, indeed, I did just call you an FHB, a fallible human being. Anybody want to plead not guilty? I sure don't. We're all a piece of work. And yet, as we just read, God wants us to get together, to work together, to cooperate together. I heard a sermon one time, there are 51 one another's in the New Testament, probably in the King James Version, because I did hear it several years ago, but 51 one another's. We're supposed to pray for one another, accept one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, confess our faults to one another, on and on and on. There's no doubt that God wants us to get along. So let me give you a couple of tips today that I think and hope are going to help you to do that. One is what I call AGI. AGI, these three letters, if you will take them to heart, implement them, put them into practice in your daily life, you'll be able to prevent a lot of conflict with people. They'll save you from saying something that you later wished you hadn't said, or God forbid, doing something that you later wished you hadn't done. And it's going to help you to have more peaceful relationships. It's going to help you live out Romans 12:18. So here we go. A-G-I. Assume good intent. Assume good intent. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Ron, we're always taught not to assume. Well, you know what? I'm giving you permission. I'm giving you permission in this case, for this illustration, to assume good intent. Here's how it works. Well, before I get into that, let me ask you a question. Be honest. Now, I can't see you, but I really do. I want you to raise your hand. God sees you. I want you to raise your hand if this is true for you. You ready? Have you ever hurt, frustrated, disappointed, or offended another human being when you really didn't mean to? If that's true, would you please raise your hand? Yeah, I'm confident that there are many hands being raised right now. When I do this in a workshop setting, I'll ask that question and hands instantly shoot up and I say, what took you so long? We've all done that. We have all hurt, frustrated, disappointed, offended another human being when we really didn't mean to. Well, here's my question for you. What's the chance then if somebody has just hurt, frustrated, disappointed, or offended you, maybe they didn't mean to. Maybe it was inadvertent, incidental, accidental. Maybe it wasn't on purpose to get you. But if you react, if you go, oh yeah, then you just created the conflict, not them. They did whatever they did for whatever reason, probably because they're hurting at that moment, they're upset about something, and you just happened to be there and they took it out on you. So when somebody does treat you in a way that you find unacceptable, unpleasurable, whatever the word I'm looking for, disconcerting, you can look at that as an opportunity to react to the attack if you want to. I'm going to suggest instead you minister to the pain. You use it as an opportunity to say something to the effect of, whoa, that sounded harsh. Is everything okay with you? Or something that's going to bring to their attention that they did just do something that's probably out of character with them. I'm going to name drop on you, but I was just talking with John Bradshaw not too long ago, and he made the comment that early on in his marriage, he realized that if his wife ever said something unkind to him, he conditioned himself to say, you know what? She loves me. That's not her best. Something must be going on. And he didn't take it personally. That sounds like great advice to me. And it sounds like A-G-I, assume good intent. So here's what I want you to do. Forget what I want you to do. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. The next time somebody does do something that you find offensive, pause and ask yourself, what's the best possible reason that he or she just did such an incredibly bonehead, hurtful, stupid, insensitive thing? You know what you're going to come up with? You know, I know his kid's been in some trouble lately, or I know her mom's been real sick lately, or whatever. I'm not saying make excuses for bad behavior. I hope I would never say that, but life is hard. Should I say that one again for emphasis? Life is hard. And none of us are at our best at every given moment. There are going to be times we're not at our best. And again, as believers in Jesus Christ, that's when we can be his arms, his legs, his voice. We can minister to people on his behalf and hopefully get people from a bad place to a better place. You know, am I going to give you a guarantee? Yeah, you're not paying to hear this broadcast. I'll give you a money back guarantee. I'm telling you, you're going to like it. Practice A-G-I. I write about this in my book, Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Work. I'll tell you at the end how you can get a copy of my book if you want. Or if you just want this article, I can send that to you too. I'll give you the details in the end how to get a hold of me. Right now, though, I've got to take a quick 30-second break, but I'll be right back with another tip called the List of 10. And again, another one that I think you're going to like. I'll be right back.
Would people in your church, business, school group, or organization like to have healthier relationships? Would they appreciate learning how to have less conflict or to better manage conflicts that they face? If so, you'll want to know that Ron Price plans to be in Michigan in September, and he would be happy to talk with you about equipping your people in relationship CPR. As Ron often says, conflict may be inevitable, but damaged relationships are all optional. Contact him at ron@ronprice.com for more information.
All right, we're back. Promised before the break that we're going to talk about the list of 10. And this is a story that I got somewhere. Please don't ask me where. I try to give credit where I can, but sometimes I don't remember where I got certain information. This is a story about a man who was an insurance agent for 40 years, had a long, long career. And during that time, nobody could ever remember him getting upset with anybody. Coworkers, vendors, clients, supervisors. Nobody could ever remember him getting upset with anybody. Well, they threw a party. I mean, retiring from a career like that, we got to celebrate. So they threw a party. And at the party, one of the young new employees came up to him and said, "How did you do that? How did you have a 40-year career and nobody can ever remember you getting upset with anyone?" Well, the man thought for a moment. He said, "Well, I guess my answer would have to be this, that way back when I first started out, I realized that I was an imperfect person who was going to be dealing regularly with other imperfect people. And I couldn't allow myself to get upset with other imperfect human beings who did similar behaviors to what I myself have done at times." So he said, "I decided to make a list of everybody's top 10 faults. Now, not everybody in the planet, but those that I interact with on a regular basis at work, at home, at church, where have you. I decided to make a list of their top 10 faults. And then through the years, whenever they did one of those top 10 faults, I just reminded myself, hey, you know what? I can't expect perfection from anybody else other than I can expect it for myself. I'm just going to overlook that." And the new employee said, "Oh, I like that." He said, "Hey, how about if just for fun, I real quick write down a list of what I think the boss's top 10 faults are, and then I'll compare it with your list and we'll see how close we get." At which point the man kind of chuckled and said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I never really wrote them down, but every time she did something that bothered me, I always said, boy, lucky for her, that's one of the 10. I'm telling you, it's a great lesson. I'll share a personal experience of that. My wife, with whom I've had 40 wonderful years, we've been married 42, but that's a different story. But no, we've been together 42 years. She has some bad habits, and I don't mind telling you about one of them. She would regularly take the towels out of the bathroom and she would wash them. Can you understand how hard I've had it? Oh, wait, I didn't finish. She wouldn't replace them right away. She had this one set of towels that she liked real well. So I'd come in from working in the garage, working outside. I'd wash my hands. I'd turn around. There's no towels. And Merida, where are the towels? Blah, 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 blah. Well, they're being washed, dear. She doesn't sound like that. That's my female voice. Well, what am I supposed to dry my hands on? Well, there's towels behind the door, dear. Yeah, the decorative, dainty towels that would crumble in my hands if I really used them. And I'm telling you, I used to get upset about that until I heard this story of the list of 10. And as God and my wife are my witnesses, the very next time and every time since I come in from working in the garage, working outside, I will wash my hands. I will turn around, see that there's no towels. I'll just dry my hands on my shirt and say, lucky for her, that's one of the 10. So much more peaceful, so much more delightful to live in that circumstance. Well, that's it for today. Today's relationship CPR topic was "We're All in This Together." And I'm Ron Price. I'm just so thrilled to be bringing you these programs every so often, once a week, I believe. But if I've said something that piqued your curiosity, feel free to contact me. I'll give you a couple of ways to do that. Ron@ronprice.com, ron@ronprice.com. My website is ronprice.com. My phone number is 505-324-6328. Feel free to call me if you'd like. Again, if you'd like one or more of my books, you can order them from amazon.com or email me at ron@ronprice.com for a Strong Tower Radio listener discount. This has been a Strong Tower Radio Network production.